If you will, turn with me tonight to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark chapter 8. And verse 22. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. The Bible said, and he come to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Amen. If the Lord will help me here tonight, I want to preach to you from verse number 24. I was praying today, and I felt like the Lord laid this passage of Scripture on my heart for you. So if you'll just get in here behind me tonight, I appreciate everything that's been said, those that have come to us and told us how the preaching has helped them. I mean, that really, really encourages me to know that folks are really getting help. But I want to preach to you tonight, it said in verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. If the Lord will help me here for a little while, I want to preach to us on held up on halfway. Held up on halfway. This man, this blind man that we're reading about tonight, he was kind of unique. He didn't come looking for Jesus, stumbled on to Jesus. He wasn't sitting by the wayside and Jesus passed by, but somebody heard the testimonies and brought this man to the Lord. And I think that's one of the greatest things that we have. It's almost a forgotten weapon in this hour, is a good testimony. Tell somebody something good about Jesus. I mean, I've said it during this revival, and I'm going to say it again. There is enough bad news floating around. That was part of my reason for my phone calls today. I just want to tell somebody something good about the Lord. Amen? I feel like that's what we need, is to tell somebody something good. And then to take the extra effort to bring them. This blind man that they bring into our passage of Scripture tonight, this man was not born blind by any means, because he knew something about what things were supposed to be like. He knew what they were supposed to look like. He was not ignorant in every way at all. And I feel like in a lot of ways that we ourselves are in much the same position in our lives, that we're not blind. We may be blinded in some areas, but it's not because we don't know some things. I feel like this man knew exactly how things were supposed to be in his life. But for some reason, whatever the cause was, and there's no reason for us to try to venture a guess as to what had taken place and brought this man to the condition that he was in. But the fact is, he could not see anything. He wasn't seeing just a little. He wasn't seeing anything at all. And so they brought him to Bethsaida. The name Bethsaida means the house of fruits. And it also means the house of snares. And so it's almost a contrast in the name where they brought this blind man to. That you could get something good out of this, or you could end up in a whole lot of trouble before it's over with. Come on now. It almost sounds somewhat like some church services that I've been to, and I'm certain it's not here among this group of people. I've been in places and trying to preach, and you didn't know if they was going to break out in a fight before it was over with. I mean, sometimes God really moved, and sometimes people really moved. You just didn't know how it was going to turn out. But the indication of the saying is that you, there's a lot of potential, and there is a wide variety of what you could get when you went to Bethsaida. You never knew how it was really going to turn out. And I got to hurry. I'm trying to get to preaching to you a little tonight. But this man that they brought, he got his touch from the Lord. The Lord spit on his eyes, the Bible said. Put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw anything. Verse number 23. There is no question about it. This man had been touched in his life. And there is no question tonight that some of us that are here present in this service have been touched by the revival. The Spirit of the Lord has come by. But I still feel like that we have not yet gotten everything that we need out of this. I don't know if it'll be wrapped up here tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night. It may or it may not be. That's not really for me to worry about. I ain't even worried about tomorrow night yet. I'm just trying to get through tonight's message. But the fact is, this man could have settled it with one touch and said that was enough. But the fact is, he said, I see men. You notice here, his description is not of anything else that's going on around him. He simply looks at men. And I wonder if that's not the area of our life where we need an additional touch from the Lord. It's in our perspective and what we're seeing in men. You see, it's in men that we receive our greatest disappointments. It's in men that we often get discouraged. It's by the communication that we have with men that changes our outlook on things and often determines whether we're going to come back for another night of revival or not. I mean, it's sad to say some folks do carry their feelings on their shoulders and they almost look for a reason to get offended and not come back. I'm not preaching to anybody in particular here tonight. I'm just giving you a random statement here that happens. There are people that have a problem in the way that they see people. But you see, the problem is you can look at this with what happened to this man. He said, I saw men as trees walking. Well, we know that what he's seeing wasn't right. And there's a lot of people that get to the place that they get held up. Halfway they're better than they were, but they're still not seeing all that they need to. And there is a place in our life where we can be content with this. We can go on and get that second touch and get the right perspective on what's going on. It's amazing in life that a scenario can take place, and when you walk in the middle of the conversation or get just a few minor details, you have one opinion. But as Paul Harvey says, when you get the rest of the story, it certainly changes how you look at things. And I feel like telling us tonight, we're not done yet. God's not finished. Let's not hold up on the halfway. Let's not just stop with part of it. There is much more that God has intended for us, whether it comes in the succession of night services that we're calling revival, or somewhere on down the line. What we need is an overhauling of our eyesight. We need to see more than just a little bit. We need to be seeing more than just part of the picture. We need to know more than seeing things, come on now, that are not really there. He said, I see men and they look like trees. How many times have you been to church and declared the things that you saw? For some reason, it wasn't what everybody everybody else saw. It was something unusual. And a little different years ago, there was a lady came to our church, and she came regularly. But one night, I don't know what she was doing, what she was into, but she evidently was hallucinating. She got her eyes on something else. She left service that night and went off and told the biggest bunch of lies you ever heard in your life. She went off and told some people, said, they're up there handling rattlesnakes and drinking deadly poison. I know that gets your attention. Come on, just mention rattlesnakes in the same sentence as church, and it'll sure enough get your attention. And she told how big they was and how long they were, and I mean laid out the details. And you know, the only thing is, I was in that same service, and I didn't see any snakes except in the person of her. Come on, Dale. I'm telling you what we need is another touch. We need a move of God in our life. We don't need to be satisfied with just part of the way. It's a good testimony to say that Jesus touched me, but it's a better testimony to say I'm seeing things clearly now. You see, the journey to heaven sometimes gets clouded. There's no denying that we've been touched by Him, but the fact is that we're still not seeing nearly as good as we ought to be. We've only got a partial miracle. We've only got a partial touch in our lives, when God's desire is to give us more in our lives. This man sat there. He came. Jesus touched him. Hey, come on now. I gotta try to tell you something here. Amen. The determination on getting another touch came in his own testimony. He said, I see men as trees walking. You see, there's got to be a confession that my view is kind of twisted. I'm still not seeing things like I need to. I don't know why I feel like preaching about this, but I feel like some folks right here needs to get their eyes all the way open. They're only seeing part of the picture. They're only seeing a little bit. Come on now, of what God's power can do. But the thing is, they're being satisfied with halfway. They only want part of it. It's enough to give them a tingle. It's enough to remove the shade. But it's not enough to give them the clear picture and the perspective of other people that they need in their lives.
I hope this would make a shout, but for some reason we're not. We are in a, and I don't mean to use a big word here, and it really don't mean anything much, but we are in a stereotypical society that we put people in categories. We put people under certain headings that our first glance of them, we are so self-proclaiming spiritual that we know everything about them and not willing to go and find out just a little bit more. You see, this man's left with a decision. He could have said, oh, wait a minute. I got all I need to see. That man there is nothing more than a tree to me. Come on now. With no idea. Come on, some folks are satisfied, and I don't mean this to be rude in any way. I don't even know why I'm preaching on this. Some folks are satisfied to be ignorant in certain ways in their life. I mean, they don't know, but they don't want to know either. They just want to stay the way they are. I can see this man. Come on now. I mean, all he could have satisfied himself and said, man, I got a touch from the Lord. But what good did it do you? You'd be better off not seeing anything than to only see a little bit. Come on, and some folks have gotten just enough of an experience in their life almost to make them miserable. I'm telling you right here tonight, God is still in our presence. And while He's here, everything that has become obscure, everything that has gotten out of focus, everything that has gotten out of light, what we need is another touch of Jesus or to clear up things. I'm telling you, you, there are things in our lives that even to this point in time, they're still cloudy. They're still muddled. We still can't see things as clear as we'd like to. But another touch from Jesus will clear the picture up, and we'll no longer be in declaring that these trees are walking. These people are the problem. There's something wrong with the people. The fact is, there's nothing wrong with the people. There's something else wrong with you. Come on now. You see, you can point fingers and say they look funny. They act funny. There's something, oh, I don't know why I'm preaching this way, but I feel like there's almost a finger pointing that could be going on right here among us that are here tonight. But I want to tell you, it's not going to do us any good to lay a little blame and point fingers. What we need is to clear ourselves up. It's us that's got the problem. It's not everybody else. They're not seeing you as the tree. You're seeing them as the tree. And it's us that needs another touch from God.
I mean, sometimes in our praying, we get so caught up in looking at everybody else and pinpointing all their faults. I got a book at the house there I can't remember the name of it, but Character Sketches. That's it. His name was Character Sketches. And an old Baptist preacher from the late 1800s wrote this book. And in each one of his sermon type sketches that he done, he also was an artist. And he drew a picture. And in that, he's got a picture and he titles this little sermon, The Moat Hunter. And he personifies that man that goes after the moat that's in his brother's eye and forgets about the beam that's in his own. And the picture is, and it's got this guy that's got a little splinter just barely coming out of his eye. And he's there with his pliers in hand and his tweezers in hand, but a tree is growing out the side of his head. Come on now. And I'm telling you, when it gets like that, it's not everybody else that's the problem. It's you that needs another touch from the Lord. God, no, God in heaven knows what I'm doing here tonight. I ain't got a clue, and maybe I'll completely just will miss the mark here tonight. I probably have. But I feel like telling you here, you need another touch. Don't leave this revival. Somebody I know, we've already tonight thrown out several reasons why we're going on in revival. One said for others to get saved, and some said for another reason. Come on, and I'm just going to add to the list. It's so you can get your second touch, because the first one didn't do you. Come on, it gave you a chill and a thrill, and you see things better than you did. But instead of seeing them better, what limited vision you got, it's only making you more miserable. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm trying to tell somebody here, the problem is not in everybody else. The problem lies in your way of looking at things. And that is what we need to get cleared up on this Monday night of revival. I know we're not busting out the seams with a large overflowing crowd. I ain't seen a folding chair be laid out in this revival yet. But I can tell you that Jesus is in the midst. You've come far enough to be touched once. Come on down. If you don't do anything else, tell him what you're seeing and let him touch you again.
I mean, we don't need to pick teams and choose sides. It's not a competitive event. Oh, glory to God. Help me here. Maybe I need to take my glasses off so I can't see. But folks, it's amazing what the power of influence can do. If you don't like me, you can convince a lot of folks not to like me. Because you'll never mention my good traits, if I have any. You'll only mention the ones that you don't like. I've got some very good friends right here in this church and among
these people here, and I've been teased a little since I've been here, and that's all right. I don't have a problem with that. Not at all. And I don't think anybody here doesn't like me. I hope everybody loves me. I think for the most part I'm a fairly likable kind of person. Most of the time. Come on now. But I want to tell you here, what we need is another touch from the Lord. He got a touch he could not deny. But what he got was not enough to finish the job. And I'm afraid that we've got a touch here. And somebody's looking at me tonight and saying, where in the world is he going with this? And I don't know where I'm going either. So, if you don't know, I sure don't know. And so we're just all in the same lump right here together tonight. But somebody needs to get touched again. Because you're not seeing things how you ought to. Come on, you're seeing everything you're looking at. It makes people wrong. It makes them look bad. It makes everybody else at fault. It points the finger at them. Oh God, help me here tonight. I feel like I got to preach to somebody here tonight. What you need is the hand of God once again on your life, because what you're seeing isn't right. You automatically assume that everybody's wrong. But I tell you, they're the one that's walking right. What you need is another touch of Jesus to put the love of God right down in your heart, and then you can declare, as he did in the outcome, he said here, come on now, that he saw every man clearly. He saw him how he's supposed to. But I want to tell you, don't satisfy with only knowing half the facts. Half the story. Half of what's going on. Get your eyes open and see it all.
My Lord. My God. I'm glad the Lord touched my knee. I'm going to give you a testimony here. Cheer us up a little bit. And man, oh man. My wife asked me today something about it. Said, you feel? I ain't feeling a twinge. I'm feeling as stable. Come on now. And confident. I think I've discovered another ministry. I may just carry Tyler, buy him a bottle of oil for his birthday, and I just let him go to praying for everybody. I mean, that may break us out in revival anyway. Huh? Come on now. I'm not worried about it. Somebody said, was it Brother? Brother Justin said he hoped this thing went a year. And I talked to Brother Randy Webb there, and I said, that priest, I think about everything. He said, well, you may have to start using your Bible now. And I said, Brother Randy, I didn't bring any sermon books with me. I ain't got nothing to look at. He said, well, there's a bunch more in there, son. You just want to dig a little deeper. And come on now. You just got to know Brother Webb. Come on. But I feel like telling somebody right here tonight, you got an insufficient touch. It was good. It made you feel good. But it was not enough to clear up the gray areas of your life. You're still, come on now, you're still seeing things. You're still seeing shadows when it ought to be sunshine. You're still seeing the dark side when it ought to be the bright side. Are you going to help me here tonight? I'll tell you what we need is another touch of Jesus. I know folks are looking at this revival and saying it should have ended last week. There ain't been nothing happened. I'll tell you what you need. You need another touch. It'll clear things up. If we could all get the same vision, the Bible said, without vision, people perish. This man cannot survive. I see men as trees walking, but another touch of Jesus is going to make every day worth living when things get cleared out. But I'm going to tell you, this Bethsaida that we're at, I feel like telling you, we are in revival in Bethsaida. And I told you a while ago, Bethsaida means the house of fruits or the house of snares. It depends on how you look at it. Well, I'll tell you, they just ain't ever done me no good. Well, take my word for it, they've done me a lot of good. Well, they ain't never helped me. They've helped me. I just don't like the way you look. You look fine to me. Come on. And there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot stop somebody from loving you. You may not like them. You may not want to be around them. You may want to avoid them. You may hide and duck and go down the other aisle when you meet them in Walmart. But if they love you, there ain't a thing you can do about it. And I'll tell you what this man discovered. What I got wasn't enough. Come on, and I'm telling you, that is a hard statement to make. I see men as trees walking. What a confession. I mean, I don't read anybody else. Brother Jacob ever got it like this. He said, what I got just wasn't enough to do me. I only got part of it. I'm telling you, but I wonder if there wasn't a lot more folks that followed Jesus that shouldn't have made this admission a long time ago. Yeah, they got something, but they didn't get near enough to get them through. Come on, that's why they carry grudges and feelings. Come on now, and hatred, borderline in their heart. Amen. To the cancer. Until they can't hardly stand. That's some of the folks that they're going to church with. Hallelujah. God knows why I'm preaching tonight. But I gotta tell you, what you need is another touch. And you'll be able to get up and go and throw your arms around their neck and say, I love you.
And you know what's amazing right here? I'm preaching to the people that are in attendance in this service tonight. Well, I just felt a little kick back there and said, boy, such and such would be good to hear this one.
Come on.
I felt somebody said, boy, I'll tell you what, if certain people was here, they'd really get burned up tonight. They need it. And I tell you, while you're sitting there thinking this, you need it. Come on. Who was it? I'm not going to try and embarrass this because I can't remember. And I hope if there's somebody here, you don't stand up and admit it right now. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. But somebody, here, I'll just change this here. Years ago. come on now. Years ago, I was listening to R.W. Shambach on the radio. I'm talking back in the 70s, early 80s, back whenever I thought he had something. And he was talking about that woman, came up to him and said, Brother Shambach, come on now. I said, where's that scripture in the Bible about heaping coals of fire upon their heads? Said, I'm wanting to kindle a few fires right now. I mean, she thought it was her favorite scripture in the entire Bible. Come on and help me right here a few minutes. I mean, but I know that some folks like that. But I'm telling you, when you heap coals of fire, it ain't because you want to do it. It's just because it just happens. Come on here, hallelujah. The most amazing thing, and I probably preached it in this revival, it's the most miraculous love that you've ever come in contact with. And it was that love that Jesus showed to Judas that he never made a difference. Even though he knew he was a traitor. And I want to tell you right here tonight, what we need is another touch. And we'll get our eyes off of people. And our perspective will be changed. And we'll love everybody.
Now, it's just a boy, that little old church that I went to. I mean, I didn't know it then. I know it now. They was worldly. They was real worldly. I mean, they was worldly in the 70s. Ladies wore miniskirts to church in the 70s. And I mean, I don't know what to wear now. I ain't been back. Oh, come on now. But one brother, one man, let me get all this clear right here. One man stood up and he testified. And he said, when I first got this, I loved everybody.
on to hear the rest of the story. Since then, he had learned, if that's a word, or learnt better. And he found out some folks was hypocrites. I don't know if he ever figured out he's one of them or not. Huh? Come on now. God, help me here. I'm not meddling. I'm really not trying to meddle. I hope I'm not meddling. I hope this qualifies as anointed preaching. I mean, Brother Raymond, you may have to help me out just a little bit here. Come on now. I'm telling you, there's some things that we need another touch about. We're not seeing things as clear as we ought to. We're not seeing things as good as we need to. Come on, look at this. Here he is. He said, hey, come on now. After he touched him, I almost believe the Lord knew he wasn't getting enough. That's why I asked him, because a lot of folks, he said, go your way. But this guy said, come on, some folks, you know they ain't getting all that they need. You can tell. They're kind of holding back. I mean, come on now. Oh, Lord, help me here. Come on. I don't want to say that some of you are holding back on me. I hope you ain't. Come on now. And maybe the amens have kind of took a downturn in this service tonight. Brother Kurt Cardinal told me, he said, you preach more about Jesus than about any preacher I know of. But I'm still preaching about Jesus. But the thing is, if you can't see men right, you're not going to see him right. That's the fact of the matter. Come on, if you can't look in his eyes and say, oh Lord, then you're not going to see anybody else right either. Come on now. So he said, what are you seeing? Ain't it amazing why God has to interrupt the revival and says, what have you seen in this? Well, I've seen 27 nights of service. I'm tired and worn out. I've seen the preacher preach on everything from A to Z. Are you helping me here? He's been on the clothesline and rode the hobby horse, and he's even been into the meddling business. Come on now. Are y'all going to help me right here tonight? But I want to tell you, what about the good things? What about the positive side? I tell you, preacher, I see trees. I see men as trees walking. Them's good folks up there. But come on now, I'm telling you, we need to get our eyes open. And you'll see the bright side of this revival. He asked him, have you saw him? You see anything? Yeah. And what I see ain't right. For some reason, I almost feel like there was a tone of familiarity in that. Yeah, I see something. And I'll tell you right now, it ain't right. Lord said, you didn't get it. Come on now. Hallelujah. This is one time that the Lord said, you ain't getting this. Come on now. In the undertones of this scripture, and I know I've made a habit out of it, and I may have found scripture here to back me up on this now. I didn't know it till just now, but I may have found something here to back me up on this. Come on now. Have you seen? What are you seeing? Oh, come on, I see some. Huh? Well, oh, God, help me here. I'm telling you, I've hung into a stump right here, and I don't want to break anything in the process trying to pull it out. And I'm not that kind of preacher that digs into things, but I've hung into something here that tells me there's a few things that people ain't seeing that they are seeing that just are not right. You see, if what you're seeing isn't right, that means there's some things you just ain't seeing. Come on, you're missing some of the details. Come on, now they look like trees to me. Come on, bunch of stiff people. Are you going to help me here? I mean, they're hard-headed. Come on now, they're like a knot on a log. Was that what he was saying? Perhaps it was. Come on, I just can't get along with them. They rub my bark the wrong way. Come on, they get on my nerves. They get under my skin. I know, come on now, we're not shouting about this. But I feel like telling
telling you. How many needs another touch from the Lord? And I know you want me to hurry up and get on that other touch. So we'll get off this touchy stuff.
That guy, he don't do bad preaching until he gets on this things. I mean, I'm up against something right now, Brother Bailey. And and you know, I'm talking to some folks right here in this service. There's some things in your heart you need to get out of there. And the only way it's going to happen is you're going to have a second touch from the Lord. Feelings that you've bottled up inside of you has skewed your view of every revival.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Every revival for the past several years. You come to a point, you feel His touch. But when you get your touch, you still see things the same old way you've always seen them. But tonight, tonight the Lord says, we're going to anoint you again. He put His hands again upon His eyes and said, now look. And He said, I see all men clearly. There's not a cloud in front of them. They're not covered up by something else. I'm not seeing them in another form. Huh? Everybody's not a devil. I know some folks probably are. I heard Adrian Rogers on the radio today talking about Antichrist and talking about how he was going to be and kids were going to be. And I mean, man, he had this guy painting up like some, he called him Satan Superman. And I thought, wow, what a task. Everybody's not a devil. And I know that I've done a lot of preaching here tonight that probably may not have even made any sense. But I'm going to tell you, you can stop short. And the house of fruits can also be your house of snares. That what was intended to be your tree and for your nourishment can be your trap and cause you death. So in view of an insufficient touch, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But in with a long prayer line waiting, Jesus touched him once. Somebody else is ready to step in line. And he said, I don't know, there's something that I just sensed. He sensed something was wrong. And tonight, I feel it in my spirit. Something's wrong. Wait a minute. What do you see? You'll have to wait. I'm going to have to touch them again. Touch those eyes. And I feel like telling somebody tonight, the Lord wants to touch you again. But before He'll touch you again, you've got to tell Him what you're seeing. You've got to tell Him what's wrong with you. It's going to be hard to admit that in the presence of miracles that's been handed down, that you'd have to be the one to stand up and say, I didn't get it all. But don't be held up on halfway. My wife comes tonight. My preaching's been unique, different, unusual, strange, all the other adjectives that goes with preaching like this. But I feel like tonight what I'm getting down to the bottom of this is, the Lord says, I want to touch you again. But before I can, you've got to tell me, what do you see? What is it that's in your heart that keeps bothering you every time you look at everybody else? You see a tree. Something that's become a hindrance to you. Tonight, my wife's playing. Those that are in need of another touch. Could we come to this altar? Brother Bailey, maybe this preaching would be better except if we had tongues and interpretation. But it's something that God laid on my heart today. Brand new. Never preached it before. May never preach it again. But tonight, you're held up with just halfway. I want to see it right, don't you? Let's come tonight. Let's stand all over the building. The altar is open for somebody that needs to pray. You need another touch. And if any way at all, I thought it might be me, I'd be in this altar saying, touch me again. Touch me again. I need something more from the Lord. Let's come. Let's come. Let's come. Ah, hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Climb out of them pews. Find your way down here. His hand is stretched out, and He wants to touch you again. Let's pray.